drug journalist turned food blogger and the girl behind the popular plant-based brand Plant You. Welcome to season two of the Plant Pod. I figure because it's 2022, which is just crazy to me, that this might as well be the kickoff to season two. We did 16 incredible episodes in 2021. As much as I would like to have done more, every single episode that I put out, I was just so incredibly proud of, and the experts were like out of this world. So we covered anything from manifestation to brain health to soy health. So after listening to this episode, if you're a new listener, definitely take a look back because I'm sure there'll be something of interest for you there. We're kicking off this 2022 and the season two with a question I think we've all pondered ourselves in our adult life, and that's whether or not to ditch alcohol. I think I started drinking around the age of 16 or 17, and from then forward, it felt like every social event with my friends really revolved around alcohol. It's kind of the first thing that's served when you go to somebody's house. It's always called to for celebrations, and I think whether we have issues with this or not, it can be a difficult prospect if you're thinking about ditching alcohol. So today we're going to talk about it. We're taking a deep dive on what it means to ditch alcohol with expert Karolina Jokavoska. Karolina is a certified alcohol-free coach and the best-selling author of her brand new book, Euphoric: Ditch Alcohol and Gain a Happier, More Confident You. If you're interested in that book, it is linked in the show notes. Before we dig in, if you enjoy this podcast, remember to give it a star rating and leave a review. I also adore when you share yourselves listening to the podcast on your Instagram stories. So take a screenshot and tag me at Plant You and Karolina at euphoric.af so we can share the love. Without further ado, Karolina, welcome to the show. I'd love to start by hearing about how you found your way to ditching alcohol and why you're such an advocate for sober living.
Absolutely. So I think even when people hear the word sobriety or alcohol, immediately we think of a group of people who might entertain that lifestyle. And we think of rock bottom, we think of the words recovery, alcoholism, and it gets really deep, really fast, right? And on the other side, when we talk about alcohol, a lot of times, like we're with our friends, we're planning a, you know, wine trip or whatever. And I feel like in our society, we don't really talk about the in-between, right? Those extremes. Like we never really talk about alcohol in a serious way for everybody who has a relationship with it. And the thing is that like, if you grew up in a Western country, you have an alcohol story. Nobody is like outside of that. Even if you yourself don't really drink that much, someone around you did, your parents, you know, whatever, and it's informed your kind of consciousness. So I love to help people make sense of their relationship with alcohol, no matter who they are. Because personally, I was someone who found myself in that middle. I didn't consider myself a problem drinker. I drank a lot when I was in college and grad school, way too much, had no boundaries around it. But basically, as I got older, I tried to, you know, really get more responsible. By the time I was 30, I considered myself a very healthy and mindful person. So I would eat very well during the week. I would work out. I would drink my green smoothies. I mean, mostly plant-based. I would, you know, do my meditation. And then every weekend, alcohol would come in with whether it was a sushi night, dinner party, game night, whatever, and just throw me into this loop of poor decisions and waking up on Monday feeling totally out of it, totally depressed. And just like, what, all the healthy progress I made during the week, it's like I'm back at square zero minus five. But I lived that cycle for years and I really didn't know what to do about it because everyone else around me was doing the same thing. You know, I just couldn't make sense of it. And yet I was so sick of it. I was just like, what if I just allowed my body to feel good? Like all the time I dreamed of it. And yet I was so stuck because I thought if I took a break or if I did any changes, people would assume I had a huge problem or like, what am I going to say at the next, you know, at the next birthday party or whatever. But so finally years and years and years and years of these cycles, I decided to do Dry January, which is a break from alcohol, during the month of January. A lot of people participate in that. But for me, it was like my golden ticket. It was like, finally, I get to try this. I get to try life without alcohol and I don't have to explain it to anyone. I don't have to go ring people and tell them I had a problem. And I do that dry month and I honestly fall in love with it. I start sleeping really deeply. I have way more energy in the mornings. I wake up feeling a lot happier. I start finding myself enjoying like a lot more fun and simple things. And I really love the feeling I'm getting being inside my skin and really proud of myself, of all of my actions, the full integrity, you know, brushing my teeth even at night, every single night. That did not happen every night I drank. And so I'm feeling so good. But then in February, I didn't really think it could last. I was like, well, I'm already invited to this barbecue, to this dinner. You know, I was just like, I'm not allowed to just keep this going in our society. So I drank a few times in that February and the contrast was just so huge. You know, even one or two drinks would make me feel really impatient, frustrated, cranky. I would start little fights with my husband and I wasn't sleeping very well. You know, I was just like, oh my God, drinking sucks. And so I decided to take another break at that point. And that break basically turned into the next 4 years. And my life exploded in the best possible way. My physical health got better than ever before. I regained a lot of self-love, self-esteem, self-worth for myself. I re-strengthened a lot of connections in my life. But I think the coolest thing that really happened is I got so much confidence and so much connection with my intuition and creativity that I decided the life I was living was not my purpose and my path. I decided to quit my job and launch a business and write a book and really step into my true calling. And if it wasn't for that break from alcohol, I would have never been able to get not only that confidence, but also like that deep inner knowing of what it is I'm meant to do. And the cool thing is I'm not an anomaly. Like most of my clients have this exact same story. Like their lives change from night and day. And it's not necessarily the severe problem drinking they're recovering from. We all have alcohol in our lives for some extent. And really, you know, just allowing yourself, what if I just experienced my natural state? What if I just removed this toxin from my life for a while and just saw how I felt? It just catalyzes so many transformations in your life. So that's me in a nutshell.
What an amazing story. I'm interested how much you know about kind of the health aspect, because that's what a lot of our listeners are going to be really interested in. I mean, I was the same as you in college. Like I drank far too much and seemed to be able to drink a lot more than I can now. I find now, like I'll have a glass of wine on the weekends and it will kind of like steal the joy from my next day. Like I'm feeling a bit hungover from one glass of wine. So did you find that like when you kind of were going off of alcohol, that smaller amounts had a greater impact on kind of your health and the way your week went?
Absolutely. And that's such a great point because I think we don't really recognize that. Like our bodies obviously can pull all-nighters when we're 18, you know, and just do all this more taxing stuff. And it's really normal. Our bodies get worse at processing alcohol over time. And it's not like something's wrong with this person or that person. It's just science. You know, alcohol is a toxin. It's actually like a poisonous toxin. It's the same ethanol that is in your gas fuel, that's in paint thinner, that's in hand sanitizer. Like it's the same exact chemical composition as what we drink. So it takes a huge toll on our body to detoxify. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of toxins in our environment. So it's not like this fear mongering, you know, like there's a lot of different things that aren't very good for us as we know. But sometimes it can be confusing because it's like, if I can't even have one, I remember the same thing. If I can't even have one glass of wine without feeling crappy the next day, what the hell is the point? You know? And so the thing is that as I tried to make alcohol smaller in my life, I actually every year drank less than the year before, right? And I would still totally overdrink. I would go to a party and just have way too much. But for the norm, I tried to keep it like lower and lower and lower. And it didn't work. You know, like I remember I would let myself down if I drank more than I wanted to, but even if I just had the one or two, I still felt crappy the next day. So it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. And so really alcohol, again, it takes a huge toll on our body to detoxify from. And it also really messes with a lot of our delicate systems, especially our neurochemistry. So alcohol actually is a depressant and it will slow down your neural central nervous system. But at the same time, our body has this counteractive system to outbalance it. So when you drink alcohol and it starts to like slow everything down and numb everything, our bodies actually at the same time will release cortisol and adrenaline into our body. And this thing called dynorphin, which is kind of like the opposite of endorphins and makes you feel really low. And so this happens, you'll feel it a few hours after drinking. You might feel it in the middle of the night, you know, those like 3 a.m. wake ups. You might feel it the next day when you have a lot more anxiety, you feel a little low, you feel a little like sluggish, unmotivated. So that's what alcohol is doing. It's just even a few, like one or two drinks will unleash that chemical composition in your brain. And so it's normal then to feel low the next day after drinking. And that can actually linger for quite a while. It also really reduces your sleep cycles, the healthy balance of those. So even one glass of wine they found will reduce your REM sleep cycles from their normal 5 to 6 a night down to just 1 to 2. So this is what's crazy is like, I was such a sleep, like I was obsessed with my sleep before. And, you know, I'd always try to clock in 8 hours, maybe even 9, you know, I wanted the perfect conditions for my sleep, my mask, my pillow. But I was always waking up perpetually exhausted because it almost doesn't matter. Even if you clock in that 8, your brain's not getting that really nourishing REM sleep that it really, really needs. So it's normal to feel like a little bit more exhausted the day next day. I mean, I don't know anyone who drinks the day before and wakes up the next day, like, yes, let's go after my dream life. I'm super motivated. It's just not how alcohol affects our bodies. And that doesn't mean anything's wrong with us. It's just knowing those facts can kind of make you know, oh, it's not me. It's not me. There's nothing wrong with my body. I'm reacting to alcohol exactly as I'm meant to. And then it can help you kind of evaluate, how often do I want to be introducing this into my life? And everyone can make, you know, their own decisions around that. But I think knowing all the facts can really help you understand, like, you know, maybe this served me when I was younger in my 20s in college. That was really fun. But is it really helping me become the woman I want to be, you know, and how can I decide that? And sometimes by just taking a break, someone can really do apples to oranges so that they know, okay, this is how I feel with alcohol in my life. This is how I feel without it. And from that experience, they can really decide, you know, everyone can decide to go back, but until you really know, and I'm sure you might help people with this when it comes to plant-based eating, until you try it, you'll just never know.
It's actually wild about the REM sleep in like one glass of wine, because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now, like I know I have, like if I've had a horrible day, I'm like, oh, I need a glass of wine. It'll help me sleep and relax. Meanwhile, you're doing yourself a disservice and probably going to wake up more anxious the next day.
Yeah. So it's the total opposite on the human body. And just knowing that can help, you know?
Yeah. So I'm interested, when you made this decision, I feel like so many relationships, friendships mostly, are built on sharing drinks. Like that's what a lot of people do, is they go out, they have drinks. Like how did you navigate that? And did some of your friendships suffer as a result?
That's a great question. And I think underneath, like we all want to be healthier in so many ways, but that can be a really driving fear, I think, in any kind of change, you know, because even if you decide to like start running more or eating plant-based or whatever, like, what if you start outgrowing the people around you? You know, what if you're spending your evenings working out and your friends are going to happy hour? I think like we always have to grapple with this fear, no matter what kind of change we're embarking on in our life. But this one is obviously really obvious, you know, like your friends are going out for happy hour and it is like, it feels like, will they accept me? What am I even going to say? What are they going to judge me? Are they going to think I had bottles of vodka hidden in my closet? Like, it's just like, you know, an intervention style issue. Like, what are they going to think? And will they even want to hang out with me? Are they going to invite me out anymore? So all of those things are really common to believe. And so I'll usually walk my clients through a lot of these kind of different situations. But basically, something that I think is just so important to know is that they've studied, I did a lot of research for my book, it's coming out, Euphoric, Ditch Alcohol and Gain a Happier, More Confident You. And they found that upwards of 52% of Americans want to drink less or not at all. So these are like these secret desires that people have, but they don't speak about it. So the thing I like to remind my clients is when you go out and you decide, you know, one, you can still go out. Like there are so many mocktails available nowadays, like bartenders can cater to you. There's so many other alcohol-free drinks on the market. You know, there's so many, like literally what's in your actual glass should not matter. You know, the same way that like, if you went to a picnic and someone got a salad and someone got chicken wings, like it's 2021. It doesn't matter. It's just our food choices, right? It doesn't bond people in the same way that we think it does. So it's just a beverage in a glass. Just remember that, right? You can have any beverage in the glass that you want. It's not going to, you know, change necessarily if you don't make it change it. But then knowing that fact that most people want to drink less or not at all, it helps you have this confidence about it. Because when you do go out with your friends or, you know, a wedding or whatever it is, you can kind of look around and be like, okay, half the people here actually wish they were doing what I'm doing. but for some reason they're not right now, or, you know, whatever it is. So it helps you change your perspective from like an outcast, or, you know, someone who's not fitting in the moment, to a leader, to an inspirer, to a rebel, you know, which I think you have to do to be plant-based in our world as well, right? It's totally, you know, helps you do that.
If somebody's made the decision they want to reduce their alcohol, I always say to people when they're going plant-based, the hardest part is the social. It just is, because you can commit in your mind to do it, but then facing like your friends and family and having to battle the questions is really anxiety inducing. What do you prepare people with in terms of like responses to these common questions? Like, oh, why would you quit drinking?
That's such a good question. So not only do you want to like step into the role of like, I'm an inspirer, I'm a role model, I'm a leader, but also, you know, preparing yourself with what to answer with. So, you know, it is 2021 and like, this is a lifestyle. A lot of people are going alcohol free and it's irregardless of the quantity of the drinks that you were drinking, right? Obviously we have this old school mentality that if you drink too much, you need to do this. But people all over in all these corners of the world are just deciding alcohol is not serving me in my healthy lifestyle. When you really value health and you really value maybe personal growth or spirituality, sometimes this habit isn't really aligning with that. It's not truly allowing you to live up to the values that you have or the biggest dreams that you have. And it's okay to choose, you know, your lifestyle based on what you want, not what other people expect of you. But what do you actually say? You know, like I was this weekend, so cool to see, you know, there's so many celebrities now that are alcohol free that are just like, you know what? It didn't serve me anymore. Drew Barrymore, Anne Hathaway, like J-Lo doesn't drink, Tony Robbins doesn't drink. There's so many people out there that can inspire you. So I think getting that confidence can help, you know, just saying things like, you know, like I'm doing like a health challenge, or thanks, I'm great. And the thing is that you can understand that there's usually around three responses, actually four responses that people can have. The first one I forget about because the other person might actually totally get it, right? They might totally like get that you're doing that. They've tried a break before too. And so like, they'll be easy. But the other responses are, you know, someone could have questions for you. They're like, oh, they're quitting drinking now? Or like, what's this about? You know, whatever it is. And remembering that over half people want to drink less or not at all, they're probably asking questions for their own benefit. Like they're kind of curious about this lifestyle and they're trying to put your perspective and your life in their lens, you know, because, oh, if my friend's doing this and we drink around the same amount, like, is this something I should consider? They're like curious and it might come out kind of strangely, but like you can literally just be a really big role model about it and just share openly about it. It's a really, you know, I think cool to be point of pride around it. And then for people who are actually, you know, being a little rude, for people who are trying to cajole you into drinking, or, you know, like, oh, I don't have a problem with alcohol, like saying just like really snide things like that, it's often a red flag. They're not talking about you whatsoever. They themselves are insecure about their own relationship with alcohol. And having someone come up in their worldview that's challenging that is really, really threatening to them. And it's really easy to put someone in a box like, oh, you know, Sally had a huge problem. She had to go to rehab. She can't drink anymore. That person gets to put you in a box. But when you just decide to make a change because you want to be healthier, happier, whatever your reason is, that person can't put you in a box anymore. And they have to kind of look at their own drinking habits too. So that's why it can be kind of threatening. But I've personally learned that when it comes to relationships, like a fermented beverage in a glass is not what really bonds you. And if you're willing to be, you know, open and vulnerable and just really, you know, ask even your friends to bond in new ways. Like if it's always happy hour, why not invite them for a hike? Why not invite them for coffee? Do something new. You might find that you can actually bond even deeper with your friends because alcohol actually robs us of the ability of being really present in the moment, you know, and it makes our thoughts kind of insular. And so you might find that you can bond even more deeply with people, which is what happened in my life. Like my friendships blossomed more. My relationship with my husband got a lot deeper because I was also being more authentic too. And, you know, the people who maybe don't get it or like literally the only thing you have in common with them is drinking, then they're probably not that deep relationships at all. But I like to tell people, give us some time, give it some grace. You know, like change is always threatening to other people because they're scared they might lose you or that you might outgrow them, you know? And so just knowing that, like, that's why people are coming from it and feeling a little threatened can help you understand and have more grace and compassion for the people who really matter in your life. I mean, but we have to really think of it sometimes objectively. Like it's just a beverage, or like, you know, in case of food choices, like it's just food on my plate. Like, I know it's weird, dad, or I know it's weird, grandpa, you know, because of like different ways we've put so much symbols and attachment to like what we eat or what we drink, but no one should have to make you feel small based on you choosing what's best aligned for you, you know, whether it's a beverage, a food, whatever.
So I'm curious, and you don't have to answer this, but did your husband as well give up alcohol?
Yeah, that's a great question. So he has taken breaks over the time since I've started, and he's definitely completely reduced. So we used to drink together. I mean, we had date night, every date night involved it, sushi night, game night, you know, brewery night, whatever. And so we completely definitely he reduced because he didn't have a partner in that anymore. And it was amazing though, because what the thing that we did the first year is we both signed up for a half marathon. And so we decided to start training together. And so our new date nights was literally going outside and going on runs together. It was so cool because we actually got to rebond in a new way. We got to kind of get a little creative with how we spent quality time together. And now we do so many other things together, you know, on Saturdays or Fridays or whatever, instead of just the go-to of having some drinks somewhere. So it's kind of, it was really cool how it rebonded us. And he only really drinks socially now. And so I think that was cool because a lot of people fear, especially women, will this tear my relationship apart? Will he change? And even too, I know when we make a change, we want our partners to change almost like immediately, but I think we can't really change from like dictation or saying things or anything. Everyone needs kind of their own autonomy. And the best thing you can do to help someone change is really just influence, really just being the role model inspirer. And they might start getting, you know, piques their interest too. They might start getting into it too. So I think that's just a really beautiful development that happens.
It's crazy the parallels between the decision to give up alcohol and the decision to go plant-based, because I always tell people it's the same way. Like, so many people struggle with their partner not going plant-based when they do, but it's like they have to want to themselves. And the best way to encourage it is by showing how great you feel on a plant-based diet. So it's like very relational there. So when you went sober, what I'm hearing from this is that it was almost like a catalyst for all of these other healthy life changes. Did you find that like it was a domino effect?
Huge domino effect. And, you know, I was so excited about everything that happened. And that's like why I wrote a book. I was like, I need to write all of this down. I need to capture every single benefit I've experienced. And so, you know, first it was really the obvious health benefits. Like your sleep really, really improves, which means that the next day, and because your body isn't working overtime to detox anything, you wake up with so much more energy. I fell in love with mornings. I started waking up earlier. I started like really investing in my personal growth at the same time. I ran a half marathon, you know, like those are things I thought other people did. Like I was not someone who could do something like that, you know? And so my health got a lot better. And, you know, some things that are really crazy is just 5 weeks off alcohol, they've proven now will lower your blood pressure, will lower your blood cholesterol, will heal your liver fat, will reduce your cancer markers, will grow your brain matter, and will like make you just feel so much more energetic. I was saying 5 weeks, that's it. And you can see all those health benefits happen, which I'm sure is really parallel again to like eating plant-based. My cholesterol dropped 51 points.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just from giving up alcohol, like on the weekends type of.
Yeah. Right. And so like that, you know, and it also like, it is a domino, because even when you consider yourself a healthy person, you know, drinking makes you hungrier, makes you like have more poor choices the next day. Like it's just, it is all like, it really overshadows a lot more areas of your life than we think. And so not only was I healthier, but you know, something that was really cool for me was really redeveloping my own self-love for myself, because every night I went to bed, the next day I woke up feeling amazing. And it was like the version of me that woke up feeling amazing, like looked back and thanked that past version of me. And it was like, wow, you were really looking out for me. You were really making me feel loved. And I remember when I was drinking, it was the total opposite. I'd wake up and be like, did she really not care about how I'd feel today? And it was almost like this sense of distrust in myself. Like I really couldn't trust myself. And so that really blossomed in my life. And that like self-love also was like really helped me then dive deeper into my creativity, into my intuition. Because I was even willing to take a break from alcohol, I think that was like the big yes that my intuition and I needed. She was telling me for years, like, take a break, take a break, take a break. And I didn't listen for so long. But when I did, I listened to this really deeper voice inside of me. And then she started sharing more messages with me. She started sharing more ways that, you know, you're supposed to launch a business. You're supposed to become a coach. You're supposed to write a book. And I kept listening and I kept having that creativity. So, you know, like my life is night and day now. I used to work a 9-to-5 corporate job. I used to think the highlight of my week was a bottle of wine. I mean, and now I am like fulfilling some of my biggest dreams of writing a book, you know, that's being published out on bookshelves like next week. It's just crazy. Like making impact in so many people's lives, you know, working and being friends with my heroes. It's just so cool. I've stepped into this deeper purpose, I believe. And it all was catalyzed in that way from that break from alcohol. And I have clients who have similar stories. They've literally quit their jobs and launched businesses. They've written books. They've become coaches themselves. They've moved. Like I have one friend or client who moved from her corporate job, quit it, and moved to France for a year to have just this adventure of her lifetime with her family. And I just, the bravery she got, she completely credits that to going alcohol free. I've had clients who've also really improved their health, like healed themselves from diabetes, chronic illnesses, gotten off of lifelong medication. You know, it's just insane these health benefits that can occur that when you do it, but also this, like, you know, when you really kind of similar to plant-based, when you kind of go against the mainstream, when you go against what everyone else is doing, it kind of harbors inside of you this inner rebel, you know, like you're no longer worried about what people will think or fitting in. You're like, I'm going to just do me, what's right for me, my well-being, my mental health, all this stuff. And it trains you to have this courage, you know, like ordering a mocktail takes courage and telling your friends takes courage. And what's cool is this courage that you're building, this muscle, it starts working in other areas of your life. It starts helping you do the things you wish you did on a much bigger scale. And so it's just this really incredible transformation. And I categorize it in my book by like the body, the mind, and the soul, like all these benefits that you'll receive. And then at the end of my book, I also go into an 8-week plan so that it's not really just about habit change. It's not just about not putting alcohol to your lips, but healing the mindset that even came to believe that alcohol was important in your life. For example, the ideas that all of us have culturally, that alcohol is fun, that it makes you more confident, that it makes socializing better. Like all of those things are ingrained within us. I mean, most of us start drinking when we're teenagers, you know, and it's like, there's so much marketing messages thrown at us. It's so culturally accepted that we don't even know sometimes the things that are conditions in our mind that, you know, society put there versus like what we truly believe. So when you like heal that mindset, you almost get to a point where you just don't want it anymore. You know, it's not like I can't drink or I can't eat meat. It's like, I'm happy I don't have to, you know, like, right. It's the same kind of feeling and you're really proud of your choices. And then from there, like you open up so much space for what you do then want in your life. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful process.
Let's talk about the book. So your book, when this airs, is going to be out January 4th, I believe. It's called Euphoric. The name, I'm assuming that's inspired by how you felt after giving up alcohol.
Absolutely. You know, and before when I was hoping and wanting to change, but not changing, I thought that giving up alcohol would just be this another deprivation, you know, another like a thing that other people will do and I won't. And it just will feel kind of boring. You know, I had all these assumptions around it and the complete opposite happened. You know, when I was sharing about those neurochemical things that alcohol does, it not only will have more stress hormones circulating in your body over time, it also lowers your levels of dopamine, serotonin, and GABA. So some of the things that make us feel happy and calm and just really, you know, like zen. And so when you remove alcohol from your life, those happiness neurotransmitters actually go up and then all those stress hormones go down. So I remember literally feeling like I was falling in love. I was so happy. I was looking out clouds and like talking with trees and having dance parties with my dog. Every little thing I saw in nature around me, I had this heightened appreciation for. It was like I was seeing the world for the first time again. And this phase obviously can wane a little bit. You know, you don't live like that every day. But since then, like I'm euphoric. I'm euphoric you know, to be alcohol free, to step into my greater purpose and power, to not worry about what other people think, and to just live my life according to my deepest intuition. And it literally has made me happier than anything I've ever done in my life. And that's why I'm so excited about sharing this message. It's not like everyone needs to be abstinent. It's not black and white. It's nothing to do with that. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. Like, if you've never tried it before, you really don't know how your body feels in its natural state. And so just try it. And here's this 8-week plan in the book that will guide you so that you are in love with it, you know, and not only guide you to really let go of the alcohol assumptions and all those, like, oh, I'm going to be boring, all that stuff. But then ask yourself, okay, if I thought drinking was fun, what really do I think is fun? Like, drinking alcohol is such a passive activity, and it just kind of activates like the pleasure center in your brain, but it's such a, like, it's so passive. Something else is doing that for you. Imagine if you are responsible for creating your own fun and joy and pleasure in life. And so it kind of helps you beg the question, what do I actually enjoy? What makes me happy? What gives me pleasure? What is fun for me? And those deeper questions can actually help you discover a part of yourself you didn't even know. I mean, think about back when we were like preteens or, you know, young teenagers. We had sleepovers, we had dance parties, we went ice skating, we climbed trees, we put on plays. We had so much fun before alcohol came into our lives. So it's like this ridiculous notion. And so the book will help you even guide you to those experiments. Like, what new experiences can I try? I've had clients go hula hooping, dancing. I've had clients go aerial yoga, doing pottery classes, doing painting classes, doing all kinds of new activities. And it starts to just unleash this new sense of, like, there's so much to try in this world. And often that experience can really then help you know, well, what am I really passionate about? And am I doing that in my life? And how can I incorporate that a little bit more? Which is why it's so cool that it's not just the health benefits, right? It's like these entire life benefits that end up happening from that one little change. And so that book will help not only share all those benefits so that, you know, by the time you get to the 8-week plan, you are so hungry to try it. You're just like, yes, I can't wait to experience all these things. And then really help you navigate all those situations, the socializing, the friends, the family, what to say at different occasions, and then how to, you know, really train yourself to find things that relax you or are fun for you. And they work, right? Like we said earlier, alcohol actually physically does not work to relax a human body. It's just, it does the opposite over time. And so you deserve to relax. You deserve to soothe yourself. You deserve to rest. But let's find things that actually work to do that. And let's find ways to have fun and really discover, like, a deeper part of you that, you know, for me, alcohol was just a way I played small. It was a way that I kind of, I don't know how to say it. I gave up on a lot of my dreams when I was in my early 20s. I thought I would be this big writer. I thought I would have this dream career when I was younger. And by the time I started drinking and just settled into, like, adulthood, I totally gave up on a lot of that stuff. I thought they're all pipe dreams. And it wasn't until I took a break from alcohol that I realized, oh my God, if I can do this, what else could I do? Anything can be possible. Anything truly can be possible for you. And just asking yourself these questions can really even help you articulate, what is that? If I could design anything in my life, how would I want to design it? And really give you that autonomy, that courage, that confidence, and that self-trust to know that, you know, anything is the possible. So it's a little different from other books about alcohol-free living, because it's not really just about stopping drinking. It's honestly, I could care less what people drink at the end of the day. It's not about the drink. It's about being awake to your life. And personally, I just haven't seen any other kind of transformation as similar as this one to really catapult you into those deeper, deeper questions. Because like you said, you're going to have to deal with, you know, what people will think of you. You're going to have to face that. And you know what the cool thing is like, you know, as an entrepreneur, as an author yourself, like, that's scary too. Most people have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, like everything you want in life that is like something that is just so juicy, so, you know, dreamlike, it all takes courage. It all takes, you know, leaving the status quo to go get it. So it's just like it's just a primer to really help you not only love those benefits, but also really fall in love with getting to know yourself and what you want.
I feel like everybody's buying and sold on this book after that. I mean, you talk and you're so inspiring. You said at the end of the day, it's not about the drink. But kind of a follow-up question to that is, do you think people need to eliminate it entirely to kind of discover, I guess, what their relationship with alcohol is?
Great question. So I think everyone is at a different phase, honestly, with it. So a lot of times, like, even getting to the point of wanting to take a break can take years. And it could take years of trying to drink less, of even just learning a little bit more about it, right? Like listening to a podcast like this, maybe reading a book, just kind of being open to it. You know, it's not like this, I'm shoving all of that under a rug. That's my nighttime behavior. This is my daytime. You know, like it can take some time to really even just open your mind to be able to think about it. And I think that one is a sign of huge wisdom. I honestly think that only the wisest, most intuitive people start asking themselves these questions. And you don't have to, again, it's not about black and white choices, but just being open to ask, you know, like just being open, is this cultural ritual, this convention, this thing that everybody does, is it like exactly how I want it to play out in my life? So I think just getting to a point where you want to make sense of it is really, really incredible. And from there, like you can do whatever you want, right? But then some people will then choose to take a break after they've thought about it, after they've, you know, just allowed themselves to explore even like, well, how do I feel after drinking? You know, sometimes it's not even something we've thought about sometimes until you really, you know, almost experiment with it and know all these facts at the same time. Kind of like when I went back to drinking in February, it was this heightened awareness I had around it, right? That I didn't even have before. And so that can be really helpful. But then if you're at a point where you're like, okay, like I want to try a break. I think a break is great because the thing with drinking less is that it's kind of a crapshoot. Like sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. And you still live in a society that's always pushing it on you, right? So like, even if you just want to have one drink that night, what's to say that your friend won't be like, oh, come on, let's just have another, like, let's order another bottle of wine. Like it can be really hard sometimes to just not have a firm boundary around it, right? But when you want to decide to take a break, the thing is that within, like I just said, 5 weeks, a lot of those healthy healing changes happen in your body. Within around 4 to 6 weeks, your brain chemistry rebalances. So that like high, that euphoric feeling, it's actually called a pink cloud in the alcohol-free world because it's a really typical phenomenon. And that also is something that you need to just get a little space from alcohol from. And it also then helps you like, okay, if I use alcohol to relax, if I use alcohol to have fun or to be social, it helps you learn how to do all of those things within your own power, within your own self. And it really can help you master those things. So a break is really a cool, I think, personal growth exercise to really like learn more about yourself and really teach yourself how to meet your own needs without outsourcing them to alcohol. So a break can just be a phenomenal learning tool. And then at the end of the break, people always have their full autonomy to decide what to do. You know, they have apples to oranges. And you know that you can decide to go back to drinking. You can decide to keep going on your break. You can decide to just drink occasionally from there. You know, like that's really like your choice and your autonomy. Most people do decide to make a change though. They decide that the break's either so good, they're going to keep going with it, or to really limit the amount of alcohol in their lives because they just really love how they feel without it. But one thing I want to caution against is the word forever. I think with any big lifestyle change, thinking like, wait, like this means I'm never going to drink again, or, you know, I'm never going to eat any like hamburger ever again, right? Like whatever it is, like it can really put that and make it really daunting and try to like get you to almost stop doing what you're doing because you're not ready to commit to forever. I say get rid of the word forever. You know, I like to make this analogy that say that like I introduced you to this guy and I was like, okay, he's the perfect guy. Do you want to get married tomorrow? And you're like, I'm not ready for marriage, right? Of course you're going to get cold feet because you don't even know the guy yet, right? Allow yourself to go on the first date. Go on the first date, right? And the first date can often be just trying it, experimenting with it, taking a break from alcohol. And the thing is, then if you like the first date, go on a second date, go on a third date. And then a lot of people even get to a point where they're dating them for 4 months, or say you're alcohol free for 4 months. And you're still not ready to commit to forever, but you're like, oh, does that mean I should go back to drinking? Because I'm not sure. Think of the same analogy with the relationship. If it's going really well at 4 months, that doesn't mean you're ready to get married yet. It doesn't mean you have to say I do forever. Maybe you just keep going with the relationship though, because it feels so good. So I think that forever word can be daunting with anything we change, whether it's like not eating meat, not, you know, eating sugar, not having alcohol.
And it almost prevents us from even like taking the first few steps or keep going with the lifestyle if it feels good for us. So, it doesn't matter. You don't have to label it. You don't have to like make any declarations. Allow yourself to experiment, I think, can be really, really healthy, helpful, and you'll get to know yourself so well.
What's your favorite way to like celebrate now? Because I was just thinking when your book comes out, like you're not going to be having like a glass of champagne or something. So what is like your mocktail or what do you do? Because that's just so ingrained in our culture, I think.
Absolutely. And that's the coolest thing is if you look like on the internet, on Instagram, anywhere today, there's been an explosion of alcohol-free drinks out there. You can get any alcohol-free drink and even more creative ones. Like there's non-alcoholic coffee cream stout and blood orange IPAs, and there's non-alcoholic wines and champagnes. There's all these new cool inventions that aren't even trying to be alcohol that are like have adaptogens or nootropics in them. And they have bitter, complex flavors. They're super adult. They're really fun drinks. And then also, just going to a health food store, even the drinks that aren't supposed to be non-alcoholic beverages, but just all the kombuchas, all the health tonics, all the different like smoothies, just there's literally thousands and thousands and thousands of drinks out there on the market that aren't alcohol. So I always recommend to my clients, find a drink you love. The cultural symbol of a drink, whether it's like a ritual, a way to socialize, a way to decompress after a hard day, or a way to celebrate, you don't have to unattach that from a drink, just change the drink, right? So yeah, there's some drinks that I love out there, like Kin Euphorix, Curious Elixirs. I also love like a really good Spindrift, like those are the fruit purees mixed with sparkling water. Like some of those are my favorites. So I'll totally still, treat myself to drinks, whether it's Friday or I'm going out or whatever. And then I've also, asked myself, how do I really mark occasions in my life? How do I really want to celebrate? And this new ritual that I've formed is actually nothing to do with having a drink. One of my favorite things to be able to honor and recognize is watching the sunset. And so I live in a pretty flat area with buildings. So if I want to watch the sunset, I have to actually like leave my house, go somewhere. I'll either go to the beach or a really cute vista or viewpoint or something. And that's this like really new, cool ritual that I've integrated into my life to celebrate occasions. Because in that moment, like there's like nothing more beautiful. You're just like awed by the grandeur of our universe, by these beautiful colors melting at you. And I feel my accomplishment. I'm like, wow, this isn't like an accomplishment that's going to be, followed by a half night remembered at a bar. And then I'll feel guilty the next day. And then I'll feel even a little like ashamed about my accomplishments because now it's attached to this guilt. You know what I mean? I actually feel really proud and I honored myself and I really allowed the feelings of celebration to wash over me, like with the context of the profundity of it, right? Like this beautiful sunset marks that for me. And so there's all these new creative ways that people can celebrate, whether, it's getting massages or going even to an amusement park or just doing something they've always wanted to do. So that's kind of how I celebrate. And then I always say, find a drink you love. There are thousands of them. And a lot of people find the placebo effect really works. Like you can have a drink anytime you want, right? Just change the drink. You can still feel all those feelings, the excitement, the socializing. Like when I go out with my friends now, I literally feel buzzed. I do. I feel buzzed when I hang out with people that I love and there's not any alcohol involved. And I think we forget that our body is capable of creating its own natural buzzes. We have all these endorphins or these different neurochemicals that can help us feel buzz and feel just elated and happy. And there's so many other ways that we can naturally induce that. And that really honors ourselves and the planet instead of these kind of artificial, the substances, the sugar, the foods, that do it. It's just such a cool way to express that.
One more question followed up to this is, I'm curious your stance on marijuana and CBD. I mean, you don't even have to answer this if you don't want. I don't know if it's legal there, but marijuana is legal in Canada. So it's definitely a substance that is used often. And from my understanding, it's different than alcohol. Like what is, like, do you encounter clients who need help with that as well? Do you feel that it's a different substance? Should people abstain from it?
Yeah. So like, I'm not the sober police whatsoever. Right. And I help people transform their relationships with alcohol. But I am interested in other ways that we like numb out, other ways that we play small. And, you know, for example, I don't smoke personally, but I watch TV, right? Like any other human. But sometimes I can notice, I can recognize like, wow, I've had a really hard day and I just like zonk on the couch and watch like some TV. Like I notice that behavior within myself. Like I'm just trying to numb and distract myself from this experience. So obviously, you know, marijuana is so much different from alcohol. It doesn't have as many toxic effects. Like it really is a completely different substance. And if you're like, you know, you're going to choose which one's worse for your body, like alcohol definitely is, right? But like a few caveats, like my clients, everyone who, you know, listens to this episode or anyone who's interested, you are all autonomous human beings. Like you get to make your own choices for any lifestyle that you wish, right? Whether it incorporates that or not, you know, is definitely up to you. But just a few caveats is like, watch out. Like, are you using it just to numb a lot? Are you using it like every time it's stressful, every time you've had a hard day, you know, every time you even want to have fun, are you outsourcing all those things to something else? And that can often just be a sign like, well, what if I experimented finding that stuff within, or I tried really healthy ways to do it? And then I do know also with weed, it will affect your sleep cycles in the same way. So it's not as toxic at all on your body, but it actually does reduce your REM sleep cycles. So if I have a client who really wants to take a break, you know, we'll try usually, we could do it in phases, or we could just do both at the same time. It can be really cool to just experience again, your natural state completely. But again, I'm not the sober police. Everyone gets to decide, like if alcohol doesn't really work for you, but you know, that's something that you do enjoy recreationally, like who am I to say anything about that, right?
So I'm assuming the book is available everywhere books are sold. Do you have a website that people should go to if they're wanting it and maybe some freebies to claim?
Absolutely. So yeah, the book is available. I can't believe it. It's on bookshelves. And if you go to euphoricbook.com/gift, you can actually get a ton of free bonuses. So, you know, we talked about mocktails. I include my favorite recipes in my mocktail ebook. We talked a little bit about boredom too. So I have this cool checklist of 50 things to do instead of drinking so that you really get your creativity spurred. And then a guide on how to socialize confidently without it. In addition to that, I'm including a 31-day guide for someone who's ready to do dry January or take their first month off, and we'll guide them every single day through that month with, you know, a different, a learning tool or reflection or something like that to guide them through. So you can find all of those bonuses and get your copy of the book at euphoricbook.com/gift. And that guide, that 31-day guide, is a special gift just for your listeners. So, it can be so helpful to really commit it to yourself, really have this eye-opening experience, but you know, you need the guidance because our society tells you literally that you're going to be left out, no belonging, you're never relaxed, you're going to deprive yourself, it's going to be painful when it comes to changing your relationship with alcohol. And I think just like making changes to your diet, like we need a lot more help and a community that supports it as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much. This was like extremely educational for me as well. So I'm so excited for people to listen, and I know your book is going to be out when this is coming out, but best of luck on the launch.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here. And you too. I cannot wait to get my hands on your book.
Well, folks, that is it. The first episode of 2022 is in the books. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Carolina as much as I do. It was really eye-opening, and I'm definitely looking at my relationship with alcohol as I head into the new year, and maybe you are too. If you're interested in learning more, definitely check out her book, which is linked in the show notes. Until next time, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you soon.